This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Ping.fm, and Upsnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to Medicine and Health with Dr. Paul Anderson. This is a show about opening the often mysterious world of how doctors think and how science works. This program exists to educate and empower you, the listener. Now, here's your host, Dr. Paul.
Welcome to Medicine Health, Dr. Paul Anderson. I'm Dr. Paul, and today we're talking about different reasons that your chronic infections just won't resolve. And there's as many reasons as we can think of. But we're breaking it up into different underlying problems that should at least be looked at. And this particular segment, we want to talk about another common, but I think early in the learning curve part of chronic illness, and that is the idea of biofilms. So a biofilm is something that is natural to many microbes, and they are ubiquitous in waterborne environments. So you hear a lot about biofilms in the study of oceanography and even water plant systems, anything to do with wet areas, okay? Well, what the basic idea of a biofilm, so biolife film, I think goo, right? It is a protective mechanism by certain microbial families that will build them as, you think of them as a shelter for them, where they can replicate and they can do what they do and be protected from potentially your immune system, even drugs and other things. Now, in humans, because we're talking about health, chronic health problems here, one of the reasons that you can bang away on infections and they won't respond to the treatments they should respond to is you're killing the available weak part of the infection, but the resident and core part of the infection is protected inside a biofilm structure. The other thing, if you get to that point and look at one of the other modules here that we talked about, is other infections, co-infection, superinfection, stuff like that. One of the reasons that those raise their ugly heads during a chronic infectious disease flare or treatment, et cetera, is that the biofilm might be built by one type of microorganism, but then other microorganisms will go in and join it. And so a biofilm now, the higher level biofilms, are actually kind of considered their own infectious disease agent. And it's really a whole bunch of families. And you could literally have virus, parasite, bacteria, fungus, everybody living in there. And they'll even trade genetics with each other sometimes, making them stronger. So what will happen then is the biofilm will become this, you know, go from this natural thing that's just sort of part of humans and other animals and every wetland and ocean and everything to a higher level that becomes pathogenic. And this is a common issue that other healthcare providers will bring up. And that is, well, you know, biofilms are normal inside of people. The first biofilms in human that were really talked about 300 years ago were in your teeth. And we know that the biofilm formation in around the teeth is one of the reasons that dental caries, you know, all of that can go on, kind of get crazy, is because you got all this bacteria and stuff that's protected. But it's really from your mouth all the way through your GI tract where most of your biofilms are. So what we have to do is delineate between a normal biofilm, which we all have, all humans have, and then pathogenic biofilms, meaning biofilms that have gone beyond what nature intended and have grown to the point that they're protecting way too many bugs. Now, why would this happen? Okay, This is another one of these, you know, medical, microbiological, philosophical crossover discussions. If this is a natural process that is can be symbiotic, meaning, you know, mutually agreeable between certain bugs and the human body, and we might grow natural, normal biofilms inside of our gut, why would they get pathological? Why would they be disease? Why would they grow and become disease causing? Well, the reason is that the natural processes that keep them in balance have been overwhelmed by something. So that could be the presence of other infectious organisms, and those will trigger more biofilm formation. So it's not natural for you to have certain infectious organisms in higher amounts, and so that would support the biofilm formation. Also, the use of, say, antibiotics or other anti-infective drugs that can cause some of these biofilm forming organisms to go hide deeper. So it's like a protection. So if you're not assaulting the bug and they're relatively happy, they might make a little biofilm that's kind of weak and normal in your body. But if they start to get assaulted and you're throwing, you know, anti-infective things at them, they can become biologically triggered to make their biofilms bigger. Then there's the fact that, let's say, a normal biofilm is going to, you know, be in every human pretty much, but then, you know, maybe they get other stressors, you know, the stressors like the drugs that throw off your immune system or other things, or the biofilm is there and it becomes a home for other microbes to move in and share some genetics. And those genetics sometimes are resistance genetics. So they resist your immune system. They resist the normal treatments that would kill those bugs. So the biofilm develops in a non-natural pathological way. So the way I like to think about it is you've got, you know, think of it going from your left hand to your right hand on a spectrum. It's your left hand, you got your normal, natural, everybody's got them, regular old biofilms, no big deal. Then you stress the body, you do all these other things, and then the body will make a little stronger biofilm. Call those usually a phase one biofilm. And if you keep stressing the body and keep throwing things off and keep having, you know, maybe a improper balance of treatments and other stuff, and then the bugs get together and share some genomics, you get a phase two, a deeper biofilm, something that's harder. Now, another thing you might think of is, well, throughout history, humans have probably had biofilms, and why weren't they pathologically a problem before now? Now, some of that is a bigger discussion, such as how come chronic illness is so common in modern times, which we don't need to get into right here because we don't have enough time for that. But the other part about it is that one of the things that is preventive against the biofilm, now keep this in mind, preventive treatments often don't work when you get into the world of pathology. So if I'm looking at just the left-hand side of that scale where I got my normal natural biofilms that everyone else has, what one of the things that prevents them from becoming problematic is the constant movement through my diet, because most of these are in your digestive tract. So constant movement through my diet of the right type of plant chemicals to keep those biofilms happy and not growing. Okay. Now, those chemicals might help early pathology like a phase one biofilm, but they don't do much for the phase two, the really bad biofilms. But those chemicals, so you think, well, chemicals, geez, people, you know, 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago didn't have chemicals. No, these are things we eat. If you look at the plant chemicals that keep the biofilms in check and keep your immune system and your gut happy and all this other business, they tend to come from the spices and herbs and a lot of the adjunctive things that we do with our cooking. And the cool thing is that as I have looked at what those chemicals are and what plants or seeds or herbs or spices, et cetera, they come from, is that they come in the flavorings and the cooking procedures from every endogenous indigenous diet I've ever looked at. So you don't have to have the same herbs and spices. So for example, if you look at the, you know, Nordic and, you know, Northwestern Russian and Nordic areas, you go back 100 or 1,000 years, the stuff that they would use to prepare and store their food and cook their food and all that, full of these antibiofilm chemicals. You look over, you know, in Asia, different different foods, but the same idea. You look in India, you look in Africa, you look anywhere else in the world, and in North America too. Now, all right, so if it's part of the, you know, indigenous eating, how come they happen? Well, most people don't eat like they used to, and most people aren't using a lot of those sort of natural chemicals in, you know, what they're eating. And preparing. Now, the other thing is that once we get sick, so we're sicker than we used to be, once we take a bunch of antibiotics, we do other stuff, the biofilms grow in spite of maybe all of the spices that we eat and stuff like that. The other thing is this idea of early, lower, you know, biofilm versus later big biofilm. So if the normal natural one that we all have is sort of like a little pup tent that the bugs live in, so a little tiny thin tent, then a phase one is sort of like a house, and then a phase two is like a skyscraper. So the longer you've been sick, the deeper and bigger your biofilms get, and the more bugs go in them, and the more immune dysfunction that you're going to have. So biofilms are another area. It's real similar to what I was saying in regard to the you know, mold toxins, mycotoxins, and how over time we become more aware of these things. We become more aware of treating them. We're more aware of how these things work in our chronically ill people. Is they've always been there. It's just that we healthcare providers are becoming more aware of how all of that works. So biofilms are a little interesting in that there's a couple of laboratories that kind of can test for them, but there's not really great tests that are accessible to, you know, the average, you know, healthcare provider or patient. And a lot of that is because a lot of these biofilms are inside your digestive tract. So one of the ways to know that they're there is if you've been sick for more than a few months, you've got some pathologic biofilms. If you've been sick for a long time and or on immune suppressive drugs or a lot of antibiotics or other stuff, you probably got some big biofilms to deal with. And in that case, it's just like the mold toxins or other stuff. You have to work with a practitioner who's going to help you to do some treatment trials with biofilms, and then to add in some other ineffective support and see if we can break that down. So to put a point on all this, there's never one reason why chronic illness is chronic. In chronic infection care, if things aren't getting better, we've talked about many, many reasons. Biofilms, and especially pathological biofilms, become a big part of what's wrong there. This is Medicine Health with Dr. Paul Anderson, and we are all done for today. I want to thank you for listening, and we'll see you all on the radio next week. Thank you.